sitting up for me here. I get kind of dry having that mask on, so it's kind of a relief to be able to take it off. So excuse me a sec. Isn't it great to be able to come and do this? It's been balm to my soul this morning. So I trust that as I share with you a few thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart, that this will also be something for your heart. 700 years before the events that took place 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah was a prophet who God continued to give him messages for the children of Israel, the Jewish people. One of the recurring themes in Isaiah was salvation for his people, a reestablishment of his kingdom, and that there be worship. In Isaiah chapter 9, and Kevin read it already, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." For unto us a child is born. You know, it all started with angels. These were God's messengers. In fact, I believe it was one specific angel, Gabriel. And he started with Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he was in doing what he was supposed to do, offering incense as part of the worship of the children of Israel. And Gabriel stands before him and, "Zechariah, don't be afraid. You're going to have a son." "Oh, come on. I'm an old man and my wife's beyond having child." "No, you're going to have a son, and he's going to make a people ready, prepared for the Lord." Well, it happened, didn't it? Elizabeth, beyond childbearing age, got pregnant. Now, about 6 months later, this Gabriel, he goes to a young girl. Now, she's already been spoken for. She was betrothed to Joseph. In my understanding of the culture of the day, she was probably 12 or 13 years old, because that's the age that the girls got married. They were probably to Joseph, who was probably 18 or 19. And Gabriel appears to Mary and says, "Oh, hail Mary, one who's favored of the Lord." And she's just really troubled. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, an angel standing before you and saying this, and she was troubled. And she's, Gabriel said once again, "Don't be afraid, Mary, because you're going to have a son. And his name will be Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Holy One will be called the Son of God." And then, as an added, Gabriel said, "And your relative Elizabeth, she's already 6 months pregnant." "What? Elizabeth?" With God, nothing's impossible. So what does Mary do? She hightails it from Nazareth all the way down to the hill country around Bethlehem. Now, the safest way to travel in that day was with caravans, because there was robbers, there was people who were against the Romans, and it was not a safe way to travel by yourself. So Mary probably aligned herself with a caravan going from Nazareth down to the hill country. Now, take me to that touching scene. Mary goes up to the door as Elizabeth and Zechariah. Knock, knock, knock. Opens the door. And John, who's 6 months in her tummy, he does cartwheels. Well, he's jumping pretty heavy. He's excited. Why? Because what did Elizabeth say? "The mother of my Lord has come to me." Did Elizabeth know that Mary was pregnant? No. But God, in his wisdom, gave Elizabeth the confirmation. And I would suspect that Mary was only probably about 3 weeks pregnant. Gives you an idea what conception is, doesn't it? Now, it says that Mary stayed there for 3 months. It doesn't say if she stayed there till John was born, but she went back to Nazareth. And it says that she was found with child. She's 3 months pregnant now. And I don't know what conversation they had. Joseph, I think the Lego story hit it pretty good. He says, Lord, what do I do? I love Mary, but she's pregnant. And you know, he doesn't know what to do, and he goes to sleep. And the angel appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David. Interesting salutation, isn't it? He recognizes that Joseph was the son of David. And if you follow his genealogy, Joseph was actually the rightful heir to the throne in Israel at that time. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary home as your wife, for she has a child by the Holy Spirit, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And they'll call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Well, I hope they have replays in heaven, because I would like to know just the dynamics of how these two kind of worked out the details. I don't know if it was before they said, I do, and let's get on with it. But when they both realized that they'd been given the same message, that the baby that was within Mary was to be called Jesus. I had to go to. You know, when he awoke, it says that he took Mary home to be his wife. You read that, the story of Mary and Joseph in those first few chapters of Luke. 4 times God came and spoke to Joseph in a dream. And 4 times he acted immediately on what they said. Talk about an obedient servant. Well, they get down to Bethlehem. And in my research, I found out that that room that there was no room for was probably more like the guest room of a house. And maybe all the families of Joseph were packed in there and they didn't have enough room. Or maybe they just didn't want Mary and Joseph around because she had an illegitimate baby. And there was a little bit of pushback. So they landed in a stable or a place where sheep were. The shepherds were out watching their flock at night. I believe these shepherds were looking after the flocks that supplied the daily sacrifices that had to happen in Jerusalem. There was 2 animals that would be a year old every day, morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice. Now, I don't know. I haven't been found out if that was what they practiced, but knowing the religious climate of the day, the Pharisees were very religious and very sure that they're going to do everything according to the law. And I think that these shepherds were looking after the sheep, the lambs, that were to be sacrificed in Jerusalem on a regular basis. In fact, when Jesus was crucified, they estimated that over 250,000 lambs would have been sacrificed that day, that time. Well, the shepherds are out there doing what they're supposed to do at night. And an angel came. Don't be afraid, guys. See, that angel knew how fearful he probably looked to all those people. He said, don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It doesn't say that they spend all night looking for that manger, because I think they knew exactly where that manger was. Because they had a place that during the day, it was called the Tower of the Flock, that they were able to look over their flocks during the day from Bethlehem. But underneath that tower, there was a lambing pen that they cared for those lambs to make sure that they were not without any defect or any spot or blemish. And sometimes they wrapped them in swaddling clothes and put them away so they couldn't get hurt. They wanted to make sure that the lambs that were presented for sacrifice in Jerusalem was okay. I kind of like to think that maybe that's where Mary and Joseph landed up. The Lamb of God was in the place that was the first checking out to make sure he's okay. Angels, I don't know if the angel appeared, but it looks like the skies out in the east, you know, way out in Persia. These were wise men. They were guys that knew about the stars. And somehow they arrived at the conclusion that that star that they saw was the star of the King of the Jews. Because they're intellectuals and because they were rich, they said, well, let's go check this out. So they hopped on their humpty-back camels and they did a journey of several weeks. We don't know if there was 3 of them or maybe there was 10 of them, but they brought gifts. They didn't see the star until after they left Herod's king palace. When they left and they started going to Jerusalem, they found out that when they started going to Bethlehem, it says the star went over them and they rejoiced because it stood over the place where Mary and Joseph were living. Phenomenal things for the birth of a son, a child. 8 days later, Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus to the temple to offer a sacrifice for him according to the law. And who should be there? Well, there's Simeon. He was a righteous man, but he was a senior citizen or an old man. And he had been told by the Spirit of God that, Simeon, you will not die until you see the consolation, or boils down to it, until you see the Messiah. So he happens to be coming in the temple. When Mary and Joseph comes in, he sees that kid. That's the one. And he goes over to Mary and says, can I take this baby? And he holds it up. And he says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a salvation for your people and a light to the Gentiles. Here's something that he was quoting from Isaiah 49. That this son, this child that was born, was going to be for the Gentiles as well. There's another person there, Anna. It says that she had been a prophetess. She had been there for a long time. And when she saw the Christ child, she denoised, but let everybody know, whoever was looking for the redemption of Israel, she let them know that this was a son. Talk about confirmation. Talk about fulfillment of that scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, that first part, for unto us a child is born. And that's what we celebrate here, dear friends. And that's what we've been celebrating here this morning. Accomplished it through obedient servants, Mary and Joseph. Lower class shepherds, they were probably in the lowest part of the labor scale. They were working through the night. God chose them to spread the word. There was the generous, well-to-do intellectuals from the east, and they brought gifts. And then the godly older two individuals who praised God for a child that was born. The second part of that was that a son is given. A son is given. And that to me tells about a gift. And it says in Galatians chapter 4:4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of the sons. When the time had fully come, God sent his son. He gave his son. And then Jesus, when he's talking to Nicodemus, in John 3:16, we all should know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gift. Not only is a child born, but do we have the son that's given as a gift? The third part of that verse in Isaiah 49, verse 6, it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. One of the last messages that Jesus gave his disciples before he went back to glory, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And in Ephesians 1 and 22, it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus has complete authority in heaven and on earth. Last spring, in March, when we started getting wave after wave of all the information about the pandemic, I was finding myself getting overwhelmed. And my heart was being troubled. And I said, Lord, my heart is troubled. And immediately I thought of John chapter 14, 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said to his disciples. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I'm thankful that I believe what John 3:16 says. I believe by faith that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe that he's given me eternal life. When I think of John chapter 14, he was addressing his disciples. And he says, guess what? I'm going to come again. Not only do I have eternal life, but someday I'm going to come back for you. And you know, that was one of the biggest things that I felt has carried me through these months of the pandemic. There's been times, dear friends, I'll be first to admit that sometimes I get overwhelmed. Sometimes I get discouraged, but I keep coming back to the fact that God has given us a hope of eternal life, and a hope that he's going to someday come back again. So, I have faith, I have hope. In Romans chapter 5 and 5, and this hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know, that hope sometimes got a little bit rusty. You know why? Because sometimes dealing with people, the different attitudes, the different opinions, and there's a kaleidoscope, even within our own church, of the yes and no and maybes. Hope did not disappoint me because it brought me love. And sometimes, my mom used to say, if the gears get clashing, you've got to add a little bit of oil, and that's love. And I believe that's what's going to help us continue on. As we face these things together, that the Holy Spirit can give us a love for one another. So, faith, hope, love. In that same chapter in Romans chapter 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. So I have faith. I have hope. I have love. I have peace with God. Do you have that? Jesus Christ came as a child to deal with a sin problem in the world. And he did that on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. He is the wonderful counselor because he gives us the Holy Spirit. He is the mighty God because he's the one that accomplished something. He conquered death. He's the everlasting Father because we have eternal life. And he is the Prince of Peace because he gives us peace with God. So as we go forward from this celebration of his birth, we have so much to be thankful for. Faith, hope, love, peace with God. Let's go forward with this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when you came, you gave us so much. You came as a child, but you came as a son. You came as a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Help us look forward with this confidence in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder that you've got those little green things on your seat. We welcome you to fill it out if you want one of us from the leadership to contact you. So feel free to do that.